Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let this be our testimony right here. We're going to sing this last one before we go to the next portion of our service.
Thank you. believe in you all. One of the key or pivotal parts of that scripture is that we are to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Once again, it's our personal responsibility in church to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Amen. We just bless the Lord. We thank God for all that He's doing. Amen. Can we stand? I just want to say a prayer before we get started this afternoon. Amen. I believe we have some minds that need to be freed. Amen. I believe we need the presence of the Lord in this place. Now, everybody, as I heard someone tell somebody yesterday, everybody's going through something. And this was someone at age. He said, but thank God you're going through it. Amen. Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, we take nothing for granted. Lord, at this time we're casting all of our cares upon you, for we realize that you care for us. Lord, the word of God lets us know that in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, we ought to let our requests be made known unto God. Now this afternoon, Lord, our request, Lord, is for your divine presence. Lord, our request this afternoon is for the anointing. Lord, our request is that the anointing might break strongholds. Lord, our request on this afternoon is that thy anointing will set the captive free. Lord, those that are bruised, we pray, may the anointing heal. Lord, send the anointing to open the eyes of the spiritually blind and to open up deaf ears spiritually. Lord, we just ask you to have thine own way. Now, Lord, we realize that in your presence is the fullness of joy, and in thy presence is the fullness of joy, and in thy right hand, there, Lord, send us the fullness. And for this we thank you. Can we all say in Jesus' name? And since we're standing, let's remain standing. Amen. Pledge is evermore. We got it right somehow. You know, we all know in this presence, the fullness of joy, and right hand, pledge evermore. Amen. So we just bless the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Well, our scripture reading on this afternoon has come from Matthew chapter 8. It's always good to have somebody to keep you in line. Amen. Just keep you in line. If you get out of line in formation, they say you're out of step, right, man? Right? Out of cadence, you're out of step. So we just all want to stay in cadence and in step. It look real bad when 1,000 people marching one way and you marching your own way. I heard a person the parents asked their child that was graduating from boot camp. They said, what was wrong? They said, everybody else was going one way and you were going the other way. The person said, well, I was the only one that was right. So often in life, that's what happened to us. We're all wrong, but we think we're the only one that's right. Amen. We bless the Lord this afternoon and we thank God that God is a good God. Our scripture reading will be verses 1 through 13 of this 8th chapter of Matthew. Amen. There's so much contained within it that we won't be able to go through everything. But we're going to also turn to Mark chapter 4. And we're going to start in verse 35 of Mark chapter 4. Amen. Do we all have it? Amen. Let's start. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said unto him, see thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to them, and to another come, and he cometh. And to my servant do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, as thou hast, once again, go thy way, as thou hast believed, so be it unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Can the church say the word of the Lord? It's blessed our way. We may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Jesus. How many know Jesus is God? How many know Jesus is God? And how many know that he cared for us? Amen. I don't really have time to really properly do this, but our message is going to come out of, actually going to come out of the 8th verse. Amen. The 8th verse our message is going to come out of, and then we're going to take a few minutes just to try to explain what leads up to this. But verse 8 reads, The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. But speak the word only, and thy servant shall be healed. And our message this afternoon is, Lord, just speak the word. Amen. Lord, just speak the word. Amen. Before we get into this, let's go to Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. The centurion asked Jesus to do anything, but he understood what authority meant. So he said, Lord, all you have to do is speak the word. Amen. So this afternoon, we said, Lord, just speak a word. Anybody want God to speak a word into your situation? Come on, when God speaks it, it has to happen. Genesis said, and the Lord spoke the world into existence. All we need for the Lord is to do is speak a word. Amen. Verse 35 of Mark chapter 4. And the same day when the evening was come, he said unto them, Let us pass over to the other side. And Jesus said, Let's pass over. That means we're going to do what? Pass over. Right? Amen. He said, We're going to pass. Jesus said, We might, or by chance, or we're going to get halfway over. He said, We're going to do what? Pass over to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. Now, Jesus was not traveling alone, but there were some ships. But the focus was on the ship where Jesus was. Amen. The attention was on the ship where Jesus was. And there arose a, what kind of storm? So they got in the ship and everything was all right. Like, I got saved. Hallelujah. Been running for Jesus a long time. But somewhere in the ship, I got a storm. Amen. Anybody have a storm this afternoon? I don't know if it was a storm raging out on the ocean. Hallelujah. And I don't know if it's moving this way. Well, I know one thing. I know who the Savior is. Amen. And I know he can speak to every storm. So a great storm of wind and waves beat into the ship so that the ship was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they wake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Now, before we go on any further here, Archimedes' law, or Boris, he says this. Whatever portion of the ship is full, that's how much is under the water. But it said the ship was full, but it was not. Anybody's life, their ship is full this afternoon? Come on, I said anybody's and he's on a pillow asleep. So I believe the pillow raised him up just high enough. Come on, look at somebody and say, just high enough. He was up just high enough that the storm and the waves didn't affect him. Hallelujah. But he was not asleep because our God that keepeth up neither slumber nor sleep. How many know that he was allowed the ship to be full for a reason? Amen? So the ship was full, and he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they wake him and say, hey, Master, when I think of some of the situations in many of our lives, our ship indeed is full. And many of us have the mindset that the apostles had, or the disciples. Because the Lord already told them, we're going to do what? They're going to pass over to the other side. But somewhere on the journey, things were not what they expected. Anybody on a journey this afternoon? Hallelujah, and things are not what you expected. Somebody said, I can't turn anywhere for him. My ship is full. But the blessing is you're not sinking. Yeah. Amen. So they said, Master, don't you even care? We're about to perish. When we look at many of our situation in our lives, that's our mindset. Our ship is deep, indeed is full. Amen. And we, like the apostles, would say, Lord, you don't care? Don't you even care? I heard the Lord say, tell Peter to write unto the church, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he made. In the midst of you, just stay humble. In the midst of what you're going through, just keep God number one. He said, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due season or due time, and then cast all of your cares upon him because he cared for you. It didn't say he might care, but God cared for you. So a lot might be coming against us. One storm and wind from one way, another way. In the midst of your storm, where is your faith? Where is your trust? Amen. He said, and he arose and he didn't do anything, but what did he do to the wind? He rebuked, he spoke to the wind and said to the sea, peace. Whatever you're going through, Lord, just speak. I just need to hear a word from the Lord. He spoke to the storm and the waves and the sea and said, peace. Anybody need some peace this afternoon? Anybody need some freedom of mind this afternoon? Lord, just speak a word. Hallelujah. And he said, peace be still, and the wind ceased, and there was a. For every, listen, this is how God works. The storm was great. So God's deliverance is always commensurate with the trial. So because it was a great storm, he said a great. Somebody said, my problem is great. Expect your deliverance. And wait for your deliverance. Because your deliverance will be the same as the storm. The Lord didn't just give them a little calm. He gave them a great calm. Amen? A great calm. And he said unto them, this is a question that many times in our situations, when our ship is full, hallelujah, when we don't see no help, this is a question that we need to ask ourselves. Why are ye so fearful? He said, why is it that you have? This is the only time that no faith in the New Testament appears in the Bible. He said, this situation was so diverse. It was so great. He said, but the problem is not the trial. The problem is your faith. No faith is only used twice in the Bible. As in Exodus chapter 32, when God dealt with his people because they were turning to other idols, he said they had no faith. And these are the only two times no Now the Lord does tell them that they have little faith, but he only says that five times, four times in Matthew and one time in Luke. So our faith is important. Amen? Well, how can I make it through this? Everybody feel like you're in a bad storm. Every time you turn around, there's another storm. Amen. Every time you come at one thing, there's another storm. Well, the Lord uses this illustration to try to increase their faith. Amen. Now let's go to Matthew, back to Matthew chapter 8. At the end they said, what manner of man is this? What kind of person is this? And even the wind and the sea obey him. Hallelujah. Hey, when the storm of life arises, Lord, stand by. Anybody need God to stand by me? Amen. When the tempest is raging, Lord, stand by me. Hallelujah. As long as God is standing with you in the storm, all you have to do is be still and know that he's God, because there's not another God like our God. There's no God, hallelujah, that can reverse a negative situation, because according to the laws of nature, they should have sunk. The devil has one desire, that's to break every last one of us. So after you think one storm is coming, up another storm. And the devil said, I will break them. But God said, I care for them. God said, I'm with them. Hallelujah. Not only am I with them, but I'm in them. But we want to use Mark's rendering of it because it went into more details. Amen. They went into more details than what Matthew. But Matthew starts off before he gets down to the storm. This is where Matthew starts off. Amen. Verse 1 of Matthew chapter 8, that's someone. It said that when he was come down from the mountain, he had just given the great discourse. Amen. He had just delivered them the Beatitudes. So now he comes down out of the mountain. Now he hadn't done anything, but he just, it's something about Jesus' word that multitudes followed him. Amen. Verse 2. And behold, there came a leper man. Now, leprosy. Anybody know about leprosy? When you got leprosy, that was a death sentence. Leprosy was so bad that they couldn't even live in the normal populace with the people. But when you had leprosy, they had their own colony, their own place that they had to be in, because leprosy was so severe, so bad, it was easily contagious. So the lepers could not mix with normal people. So the leper realized, my ship is full. Amen. Anybody realize the ship is full? Now, back in Moses' days, they would go to the priests and they would declare them clean. But very few times do you read about a leper being clean. Yes, Elijah cleaned the leper when he went in dipped 7 times. But how many times? This is one of those situations where you get in and you finish according to the laws of nature. But according to God, it's not. Amen? So the leper came and he wanted to get the Lord's attention. Now, he wasn't even supposed to be approaching Jesus. But his situation was so severe that he said, who else? Now, if you read that as a Gentile, that don't mean a whole lot. Amen? But when you read that as a Jew, that Lord means a whole lot. Because the Jews understood, according to Deuteronomy 6 and 4, behold, O Israel, the Lord our God is. Hallelujah. So the Jews understood that when you talked about the Lord, you talked about God. Amen. And they realized that when you said God, that was God, and that was the God Almighty, the El Shaddai. So this leper, hallelujah, he had been around a lot of teaching, but there was something that was stirring on his inside that let him know when he looked at Jesus, hallelujah, my situation is bad, but this is not an ordinary man. So he said, but we're talking about the Jew. When the Lord converted Saul on the road to Damascus, Saul said, Lord, who are you? Right. Hallelujah. Yeah. Saul was a Pharisee, raised up in the strictest of the strictest. He was in that sect that knew that Jesus couldn't be God, he said, and God can't be Jesus. So what did Saul do? According to the came pressing as our God. Amen. So we're going to get back to the leper. So the leper said, he said, Lord. And he fell down and worshiped. But according to the law and the customs of the day, he was unclean. Somebody should have been trying to pull Jesus away. But when your ship is full, and you don't have anywhere else to turn to, it's time to go to God. When your ship is full, somebody said, anybody else that went through what you went through, they wouldn't even be here right now. Others have gone through what you've gone through and they've lost their mind. Others have gone through what you've gone through and they're in an institution. Others have gone through what you've gone through and look at you. Hallelujah. You're standing by God's grace. You're standing by God's mercy. Hallelujah. Amen. The scripture says that when your troubles are great, God gives you great grace. What is grace? Grace is God's mercy. Grace is God's help when you need anybody needs some help.
Hallelujah. You better go to Jesus.
Yeah, amen. You better run to God. So the leper says, Jesus says to him, Jesus put forth his hand. Now, weren't you supposed to touch a leper? But when you go to God, God doesn't work by man's rules. God is not restrained by the laws of man. Because Jesus was God. The leper said, Lord. He was a Jew. So the leper knew that he was God. So Jesus pulled forth his hand and touched him. But the touch didn't kill him. What healed him? The Lord said what? Be thou healed. Amen. He said, I will. Be thou healed. The next verse, keep going. And Jesus said unto him, see thou tell no man. Go to the next verse. The next verse. And when he was entered into Capernaum, so now we got, now this Jew knew who he was, right? That was the first time that he was called Lord. Amen. And how did the leper get healed? The Lord did what? Touched him and then he spoke a word. The Lord spoke a word in my situation. Amen. Now this is the centurion had a servant who was sick and saying, now first it was an unclean leper that realized who Jesus was. Now notice it's not those that you would have expected to realize who the Savior was. It's calling him Lord. But now you got a Gentile, a man of centurion, that says, Lord. Now when they say Lord, that means God. Amen. You can read it on your own in Deuteronomy 6:4. It says, O Israel, the Lord our God is. The Lord our God is one Lord. And say, Lord, my servant. Now, he didn't call him rabbi. He didn't call him master. He called him just who he was. He said, Lord. That's why when he said, Lord, speak. Speak a word. Lord, speak a word. My servant lies at home, sick of the palsy and grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered, Lord. Now he was calling him God. And the custom of the day was that the centurion was a what? A Gentile. Rabbi. A priest could not go into a Gentile house. And everybody knew that because at this time, the centurion, which was of the Roman band, which was part of Rome under Caesar's authority, they knew that the Jews did not mix with the Gentiles and vice versa. So they knew that the Gentile knew, if I allow you to come to my house, it's going to be desecrated. And that's going to be a problem. So he said, no, you know, I know who you are. When you know who God is, you don't have to go by what anybody else says. The centurion said, I know who you are. Amen? He said, I'm not worthy that thou shouldst come with my roof. But what? Lord, just speak a word. Anybody want the Lord just to speak a word in your situation? He first recognized, he said, I'm not what? Worthy. Amen.
He said, I'm not even worried. He said, but Lord, I know there's something about the power that's in your word. Just speak a word. Amen? Speak a word. How? Only. He said, I don't need you to do anything else. The Lord, just speak into this situation. He said, my servant shall be healed. Find a man under authority. I said, this one, go, go, and he goes, and another coming, he comes, and they do it. Next verse. When Jesus heard it, he, why did Jesus marvel? Because this was a Gentile, and he had not yet been sent to the Gentiles. So according to the customs and the laws of that day, the Gentile didn't expect to receive anything from the Lord. That's why when the Syrophoenician woman went to Jesus for her daughter to be healed, he said, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Amen. Because the Gentile and the Jews knew that Jesus' purpose of mission was to the Jews. Hallelujah. Anybody like the Gentile woman said, Lord, I don't have to eat the bread. I don't have to eat the meal. But Lord, let me just eat the crumbs that falls from the master's table. So they all knew and understood that God didn't come to the Gentile, but this Gentile needed some help. Hallelujah. So he didn't allow the customs of the day. I'm afraid today the church is missing out on so many blessings. Because people tell you, God don't work like that. Yeah. Oh, God don't work like that. Who knows how God works? Before he got to Jericho, did anybody just walk around the wall? You fight the war, you just walking around the wall? Right? Because God don't work that way. When Israel got to the Red Sea, God don't work that way, right? Before Israel got to the Red Sea, the Lord parted the Red Sea, and over a million people passed. Had it never been done before? Your deliverance, God will give you your deliverance based on your trial. So don't you be, you know, a lot of times, a lot of us have given up on God because we keep reading all these books. Leave them books alone and read the book. Because the book said, well, man, these things are impossible, but with God, all things are possible. I don't know what Myers and all the rest of them are talking about, but I know what God says. He that cometh to me, God said, I will in no wise cast out. The reason that you despise and lonely, you keep going to the wrong one. It's time to come to Jesus. Somebody said, well, I go over to this counselor. No, come to Jesus. I'm going to get him. No, just come to Jesus. So who's to say how God worked? Before God healed Naaman, who had ever went and dipped in the river seven times? So who says how God worked? Amen. When Jesus was at the Feast of Cana of Galilee, and they ran out of wine, all they had was some empty water pots. Right? And they went to Mary, and Mary went to Jesus, and he said, she said, oh, something about that man. He didn't call her Mary, he didn't call her mother. He said, woman, something about the authority of God. When he said woman, she said, whatever he bids you do, just do it. That's the problem with the church today. God is telling us to do something, and we won't be obedient. Amen. The front of our cover says, discipline. I got the other one. Discipline, obedience, inspiration, or something like that. It's on the cover. I don't know about the cover, right? Look at your cover. What does it say? Sacrifice. But it ends with what? Obedience. So he said, she said, whatever he bids you do, do it. Now before this, nobody had ever taken six water pots and filled them with water and then take and drink. Because why? God works in according to your trial or situation. That's how God works. Now, he didn't do it before or after that, but he did it then. So your situation is unique to you. So are you trying to get deliverance or healing? Don't read about what he did for somebody else, because he told the woman that was healed according to your... But let's keep going. So he said, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found... This ain't just regular faith. This ain't just little faith. He said, no, I have not found another time was to the Syrophoenician woman who was a Gentile. You know what great faith does? Great faith does not stay within the confines or the boundaries of what people say, but great faith goes beyond the limits and trusts God. Great faith goes, so they say, well, nobody else has been healed. Great faith say, I'm going beyond the limits. So these were two Gentiles, and Jesus tells them that they have what kind of faith? Great faith. So whenever you're going through, you don't just need to have little faith. You need to have, yes, we have a lot of men born in our lives. When Peter walked on the water to go to Jesus, he walked on it because his focus was on the Master. He had his eyes on Jesus, but all of a sudden, his ship got full. The wind started blowing. The sea got boisterous. And immediately, Peter took the off the eyes of Jesus and began to sing. And what did Jesus tell Peter? He said, oh, ye of what? Little faith. Oh, ye of what? Your little faith will cause you to sink to destruction every time. But great faith will deliver. And he concluded, he said, Peter, you were walking on the water. He said, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? This afternoon, we just need the Lord to speak a word. I don't know what it is, I don't care how big it is. God will deliver you in measure to your circumstances we all stand. Lord, this afternoon, just speak a word. And the centurion said, Lord, you don't have to do anything else, but just speak a word. And if you read down a little further, it says his servant was healed the self-same hour. As we all stand, the elders, the ministers, and all the workers come forward, today you need deliverance. Don't you listen to nobody else. It's time for you to get a one-on-one situation with God. And you go to God, and no matter who tries to discourage you or discount God's miracle-working power, the Bible says these signs follow them that believe. And the scripture says that the Lord went with them, the apostles, working with them and confirming the word with signs and wonders falling. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday. God has not changed. But we've allowed so many circumstances to box us in. It's time to let God out the box. Well, how do I do it? By faith. You know, Lord, I don't need you to do anything. Just speak a word. And if who wants God to speak a word? Give God a wave off. The centurion said, Lord, you don't have to come. You don't have to do anything. But I believe that your word, that you're going to do just what I need. This afternoon, we all need God to do something. But Lord, just speak a word again.